mysteries of God is beyond our capability. It is beyond our mental capacity. But I tell you this morning that if we do not attempt to do that, we can only find ourselves stuck between faith and blind ignorance. Each experience that we find ourselves in will do only one of two things. It will either draw us closer to our Creator, or it will drive us away from the only chance we have to survive. It is my desire this morning, by sharing these experiences, that we will all again meet the ruler of this universe, the God of heaven and the maker of each heart, and that you will allow him to touch you. Let's pray. Dear Father, this morning we come to you with open hearts. Dear Father, as I share the experiences that have brought me to this point in my life, I ask that you will give me strength and courage, that you will calm my heart and my voice, that the words I speak will be from you, and that we will all go away from this place blessed because we have been with you this morning.
Out in front. front, I can see your face, and it's there you belong.
Thank you, Daisy. This isn't your typical sermon. This morning, I want to talk to you about the things that have brought me here. To do that, I need to take you back. Try to explain what happened. And to give you a small glimpse of my background, maybe then I can help you to understand the experiences and the emotions that have changed my life. To tell you of a time when my world was torn. When everything that I believed to be solid and constant suddenly became so fragmented and fragile and so far beyond my control. It's only then that I can maybe help you see God's hand in a most unusual way, the way that I see Him, the way that He touched me. I grew up a normal kid. If you knew the way I grew up, you could debate that, I'm sure, very strongly with me. I was extremely active, had two older brothers. We were in constant trouble. But we were three boys, what do you expect? I witnessed miracles in my life. I watched an angel save my dad from drowning. Sorry. We had everything we needed, but no more. We went to Christian schools. There was always examples in my life to show me the strong Christian morals. I was busy. I was always busy. This is what life was supposed to be about. Then I met a young woman. I knew I needed her. Yes, Janelle and I were married on March 3, 1985. All was well and good. Life was great. Health and happiness were ours. We were young and invincible. We decided to have children young enough to enjoy and still be young enough to enjoy life when they had grown and gone. So that's what we did. Tiffany was born June 23, 1986. Kimberly born October 18, 1988. They were beautiful and full of life. God was indeed good. We had so much fun with them. It's not to say that times weren't tough, because they were. We struggled like every other young couple. But we always felt God's hand leading us. Sometimes we had no idea where that was leading, but we always followed Him. Then we had an accident. Yeah, Janelle became pregnant. 8 years after Kimberly was born, we were devastated. We'd planned on two kids. This wasn't in our plans. How dare anything change that? We were too old to have another child. I'd be 36 before it was born. Janelle would be 32. This wasn't in our plans. Why did this happen? I had a doctor's appointment to take care of that, but I got sick and missed the appointment. Now she was pregnant. the child that we didn't want. Life was changing. And I'm sure some of you are saying, that's terrible, how selfish of you. And as I look back, I would have to agree. But I have to tell you the truth. We hadn't planned on it. It wasn't what we wanted. God had other plans. It took us 4 months before we could even tell the rest of our family. My dad was thrilled. The rest of the family was happy for us, but Dad was beside himself. He kept telling us that this would be the boy in the family. At that point in our family, my oldest brother Ken and his wife Dawn had one girl, and that's all they have to this day. Steve, the middle brother, and his wife Dawn had one, and she was pregnant. Dad was sure that they would have another girl, and they did. And that we would have the only boy on the Jepson side of the family to carry on his name. All the excuses you can dream up we had, but the fact remained, we were going to have a baby. And I have to tell you right now, my world was starting to shake. On October 18, 1996, at around 2 o'clock in the morning, we received a phone call. My dad was dead. He would have been 62. We buried my dad on June 23, 1996. Tiffany's birthday. We went to the cemetery in the afternoon, and that evening, we went to Chuck E. Cheese. We had to do something. I don't remember a great deal about that phone call. I remember screaming and crying without control. And as you can imagine, all the noise woke up our girls. And we had to tell them that their grandpa was dead. We all cried. For a long time, we cried together. You know, I've never felt pain like that before. And I hope I never do again. On that early morning, I lost part of my life. I lost my best friend. I lost my dad. And if it weren't for some of the people in my life, I have to tell you the truth, I don't think I would have made it. 2 weeks after we buried my dad, we found out in a doctor's appointment at the ultrasound that my dad was right. We were going to have the boy. The boy that he wanted more than we did. At this point, I've got to tell you, I was not happy with God. And it's only as I look back now that I realize how much I needed him, how much I loved him then and now. He could have stopped this from happening. Why had he allowed it? He could have kept my dad alive. Why was God doing this to me? Why did I hurt so bad? Janelle was pregnant with a child that I did not want. My best friend was dead. He was gone. And my world as I knew it would never be the same again. To some of you, this would have been enough. But the shaking that transformed my life had only started. Looking back now, I see his hand. But understanding that when it happens is another thing. All you can see is a very, very small world that you live in. and you believe that it's all about you. I have to tell you something. As a Christian, I had always believed that God would protect his children. What I have found out and what I now know to be true is that he will never let anything happen to his children that he, not me, that he cannot overcome. All we need to do is hold on. James 1, 2 through 4 puts it this way. Dear brother, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. I have a hard time with that. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow and don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally at full bloom, then you will be ready for anything. Strong in character, full and complete. 1 Corinthians 10:13, and this is from the Living Bible. But remember this, the wrong desire that comes into your life aren't anything new and different. Many others have faced exactly the same problem before you, and no temptation is irresistible. You can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you cannot stand up against it. For he has promised this and will do what he says. And Philippians 4:13, and I really like the way the Living Bible puts this. For he has rescued us out of darkness and gloom, the darkness of gloom of Satan's kingdom, and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son, Philippians 4:13. For I can do everything God has asked me to with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength and the power. I'd like you to know how the rest of the family felt. How has it affected us? You need to understand that this was a family trial. These events have been burned into our minds, into our lives, into our hearts. Events that have changed the course of our lives. But not only of our lives, but of all the lives that are touched by my son. Kevin Gerald Andrew Jepson. Kevin after me. Gerald after the grandpa he never knew. And with that much support, kid needed his own name, so Andrew it was. The biblical meaning for Andrew is manly or courageous. Courage that he would need over the next few weeks. The type of courage that only God can give. So why do I say that all will meet him are changed? In the next few minutes, I hope that you will see. And just maybe you will see God as I now see him. And this is from our family. This is from Kimberly. When I look back over the years and try to think of a time in my life that was just exceptional, there is one instance that stands heads above the rest. It is not the typical holiday gathering or the giddy feeling after a party, but something more solemn and emotional that changed my life forever. I was 8 years old, and my baby brother had just been born. I thought that I would be overjoyed with excitement at the arrival. But happiness was far from my emotions. In the eyes of a child, my life had been turned upside down. But through all the tragedy, I discovered what it meant to really be loved. A traumatic evening in the hospital left me scared, alone, confused, and utterly helpless. The pregnancy had gone well until the last month when the doctor had made a mistake. starving inside for 4 weeks, my brother Andrew was born with no heartbeat, glucose, or respiration. He was dead. The excitement of baby brother that I had once felt had been ripped from me. I did not know how to feel or how to act. At first, I was in so much shock that I just stood staring into space. However, reality slowly started to sink in, and I turned all my misery to God. Growing up in a Christian home, I always heard stories about how God was there and that He was my friend, but I had never experienced this before. I screamed out to God and cried with violent sobs. The once happy life that I had always known was overturned, and I found the whole time that I'd been wearing rosy-colored glasses. Everything to me had been a fantasy. But I had just discovered that I was devastatingly wrong. My little brother was dead. My parents were somewhere in a hospital, and I was left alone. My life had been destroyed. While demanding answers from God, my life once again took a dramatic turn, this time uphill. Unaware at the time, my brother was a determined fighter. He had survived for 4 weeks without nutrition, and he was not ready to give up. Throughout the night, the doctors worked to resuscitate Andrew. Finally, as the sun was cresting over the horizon, he was in stable yet critical condition, weighing in at 4.5 pounds. In the stillness of the night, while I was pouring my all out to God, this father that I had heard so much about had worked an amazing miracle. The astonished doctors told my parents somebody greater had intervened. As I went to the hospital the next morning and heard the wonderful news, my heart leapt with joy. Not only because my little brother had been saved, but because through his miracle I found a friend. God had heard and answered my prayers. In one night, my life had changed from the worst to the best. God used a tiny, innocent infant to show me that He loves us all. And through this miracle, I discovered what it means to truly be loved. Even though my little brother has cerebral palsy, he can talk, he can eat. More importantly, he loves God with all his heart. Now that my rosy-colored glasses are off, I can see that we live in an imperfect world, but that no matter what, God is always there. And this is from Tiffany. We will all encounter moments that will change our lives. Some will be subtle, and it's not until years later that we look back and you notice the turning point. Others are earth-shaking. You know it then, at that second, things will never be the same. For me, the moment came on Sunday, April 1996. I was 10 years old. I knew something was wrong. Mom had spent the past few weeks in tears. Now, Kimmy and I were sitting on the couch, sun shining through the window behind us, waiting for Dad to tell us what was going on. I could see Mom in the kitchen putting dishes away, tears pouring down her cheeks. And I knew that whatever it was, our family would never be the same. Out of all the thoughts that were going through my mind, the idea of a baby brother or sister wasn't one of them. Instead of some traumatic event that I had sensed was coming, I was excited at the idea of a new baby. The next few months were spent thinking up names, going to doctor's appointments, picking out clothes, counting down the days on a corner of a whiteboard in the dining room. The time seemed to crawl to me. I was so excited. Then came the morning of October 23. Seemed like every other day. I went to school, changed the board. 35 days left. Then to Pathfinders that night. It was a typical Wednesday. When Dad and I got back from Pathfinders, it was obvious that Mom was worried. I was sent right to bed, but I couldn't go to sleep. And before long, Dad came up and told Kimmy and I to get dressed, that we were going to the hospital. Soon we were in a hospital room. Mom lay on the bed as the nurses listened for a heartbeat. We listened to the steady thump-thump of my little brother's tiny little heart, and I relaxed. I knew everything would be okay. Then it stopped. The nurse quickly searched for a heartbeat but grew nervous when she couldn't find one. She told Dad to push the button on the wall in the bathroom, but he wasn't finding it as fast as she wanted. The next morning, the next hours, even months, are a blur. Somewhere during that time, Kimmy and I were ushered into the waiting room. A nurse kept asking us if we wanted to watch TV, and we kept assuring her that we didn't. At some point, the nurse working on Mom yelled out the door, "We've got a bad baby in here." Everyone froze for a second, and then clipboards were flying, and people were running everywhere. Kimmy and I watched wide-eyed, worried for Mom, worried for our little brother, and completely helpless to do anything to help either one. Dad came out a few seconds later and called the Davies to come and pick us up. In the morning, we were told that Kevin Gerald Andrew Jepson was born at 11:07. The first time I saw him was through the glass window of the NICU at Rogue Valley. It was there that he spent the first months of his life, the first month of his life. He was 4 pounds, 7 ounces, 17 inches long. There were tubes running out of his tiny little body. They had poked him so many times that they had to draw blood from a spot on the top of his head. I watched as Mom and Dad would scrub, put on gowns before they could enter the room where he was in. I was too young. The only time I could spend with my little brother was looking through the glass window. We all but lived at the hospital for the first month. This wasn't how I had imagined life would be with a new little brother. I knew things would change, but this wasn't how I had planned for it to change. But what I had learned was that God was the one in control. Through all of this, I prayed more than I ever had before, and I learned that I had to trust Him. By relying on God through something that could have torn our family apart, it actually brought us closer together and closer to God. The most important, I was blessed with an amazing little brother. I admire his strength and determination, enjoy his mischievousness and teasing that only a little brother can have, and his smiles and hugs have brightened my day and make me feel a little bit better. I had in mind the brother I wanted. God knew the brother I needed and couldn't love more. And from his mommy. How can I put into words the feelings that I had 13 years ago when I discovered that I would have another child? Disbelief, astonishment, fear, anger, guilt. Excitement was the farthest thing from my mind. I was 31. The last 10 years were given to raising our girls, homeschooling, and working from home at whatever job I could find to make ends meet. Life was finally moving forward when I discovered I was pregnant. I was devastated. I was not ready to go back to being a stay-at-home mom, not to mention the thought of labor at my age. It terrified me. It was hard enough to be in my 20s. Let's just say God used 8.5 months to change my life. The night Andrew was born, the promise of Isaiah 65:24 came to reality. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. Without God's miraculous intervention, Andrew would have been stillborn. I believe we go through situations, trials, hard times, whatever you want to call it, for a reason. God wants us to learn to depend on Him. 4 days after Andrew was born, I was still in the hospital, dealing with everything that goes with a C-section and trying to get used to the idea of having a premature baby. Andrew was still in very critical condition. I was having a difficult time mentally, blaming myself for doing something wrong. I felt like it was my fault for not wanting the baby in the first place. Guilt haunted me. I didn't know what to do to help him. Early Sabbath morning, Kevin was sleeping in a rollaway bed. The girls were at home with Mom, and I was feeling very alone. My Bible was on my bed, so I opened it to Psalms and started reading. It happened to be Psalms 139. The verses that spoke to my heart are these. For you created my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in the book before one of them came to be. It was then that I realized that it was not my fault. God had created my son. God had protected my son. And God had a plan for my son. It wasn't my responsibility to fix him. I was his mother. It was my job to love him unconditionally. God enabled him to be born alive, and it was God who knew how long he would live. I needed to trust God. When I let go of the guilt, God gave me peace. I love my son more than words can say. Each day when he tells me how much he loves me and that he's glad I'm his mommy, I feel very blessed to have been privileged. Life has challenges, but God reminds me constantly that I need to let go and trust him. I am so thankful God has blessed our family with 3 children. Each one is special, and I am proud to be their mom. For me, I really don't remember much about that night. You can go ahead and dim the lights, Charlie. It all happened so fast and far out of my control that the minutes blended to hours. I just sat in a chair all night, afraid to believe that in one night I could lose my wife and my son. I don't remember if I cried. I don't remember if I prayed. I couldn't tell you. I was lost in thoughts, thoughts of what might happen. Thoughts of my dad and his death, that my world was failing. What else could go wrong? I remember feeling absolutely, helplessly alone. Mostly alone. I do remember some of the friends. Pastor and Mary Jane Zalbricht, Pat and Nina, Dave and Patty. There may have been more. I really don't know. I do remember the first time I saw my son. They had me gown up. They let me come in to look at him. Not to hold him. Not to touch him. I could only look at him through that incubator, so small and alone. But even then, God sent encouragement. You see, the doctors came around for a morning check. One of the things they checked with Andrew was for a cleft palate. The nurse stuck her finger into his mouth, and Andrew bit down. And he didn't let go. Now you have to remember, only a few hours before, actually a few probably minutes before, he was a very sick young man. This kid was technically dead when he was born. They had worked all night just to stabilize him. From 11 o'clock the night before until approximately 6 the next morning, they had worked on him. She had to use her other hand to open his mouth. You know, it was like he was telling me, "I'm a fighter, Dad. Don't worry." It may not seem like much to you, But to me, it was a way that God had said, look, I've already touched him. He will survive. And so on October 23, 1996, my son Kevin Gerald Andrew Jepson was brought into this world. 17 inches long and only weighing a little over 4 pounds. We brought him home 4 weeks later. He was so small that he fit into a medium-sized Christmas stocking. It wasn't until some months later that we were told that he was born with quadriplegic cerebral palsy. There we go. What does that really mean? It means nothing. Yes, he is handicapped. But the question is not what he cannot do, but what he is doing. He is touching lives. He started with mine. And he's working his way out as he goes closer to God. To some it may be a smile. Others say it is his positive attitude. To me it is love. You see, God will use each one of us in the way that He best thinks. He uses us each day to touch the lives around us. As you have heard of our family and the memories, as you've experienced the pain that we felt, you can only slightly imagine the impact that this young man has had on our lives. The years have passed. Andrew is now 13. But the emotions of that day are still very real to us all. Life has not been easy. A trip to Europe for intensive therapy. Double hip surgery. Tonsils. Trips to the hospital. More trips to the hospital for IV, dehydration. But as Tiffany said, we have pulled together as a family. Strong and united in one goal. To personally, face to face, thank God for the miracle that He has performed for us. And you say, oh, what a terrible experience to go through. I tell you, the opposite is true. What a wonderful thing God has done. To see God's hand working in our lives. Yes, we walked through our trial. We walked through the fire, but we were not burnt. We became stronger. You have walked through your fire. But you are here today as a testament to the mighty power of God. We had Andrew anointed. We prayed long and hard that God would heal him. We forgot to tell God one thing. We wanted him physically healed. What we received was a spiritual healing, an awareness of God we never expected. If you were to ask me if there's one thing that I would change about my son, I would tell you yes. He's a little too much like his dad. Do I believe he will be healed? Absolutely. But not in my timing. In God's. If the first step he takes in heaven, it's enough. If the first time he runs is in heaven, then he will be running to the God that he knows to thank him for touching his life. And then to the grandpa that he never knew, but that prayed for him before he was born. Yes, that would be enough. It'd be enough. You see, each trial that we go through is like God is holding us over a fire until we think that we've had enough. God pulls us out. Every trial, he sends us deeper and deeper and deeper into that fire. Until, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we stand in the midst of a blaze, and it's not hot. Because Jesus is there. He is absorbing the pain, the sorrow, the heat of the fire. Isaiah 43:2 says, "When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned." Isaiah 41, 9-10 says, "I have chosen you. Fear not, I am with you." This morning, I want you to look back over your lives and to remember what God has done for you. And then remember Psalms 23, verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." In the experiences of life that he shares with all, Andrew has become more than the child I didn't want, more than the son I never knew I needed so much. He is the life that God knew I needed to hold me together in my darkest hour. And as you can tell by the rest of his family, he has changed us all. Yes, he is very mischievous. He tries the very edges of my patience. He gets grumpy. He gets sad. And yes, he gets mad. He is anything but perfect. But most of all, he is the young man that I look up to. The young man who I pray for and who prays for me and for you too. He will survive. Not because of anything that Janelle and I have done for him. Simply because God touched him and is continually touching him. There are too many memories. Memories that even now flood my heart with the deepest of pain. They tear at my heart. They beg to be left covered. Memories that God himself will explain. But of one thing I am sure, it's God who will remove the pain from these experiences. Pain that is not yet understood, but for some reason is appreciated for what it has done. Then why share these memories? Only to relive them again and again and to once more feel the deepest of pain. It's for you. To allow you to witness the hand of God at work. And to help you see that my God is there to bring you peace in the storm. I've asked Daisy and Russ to sing a song for us. It's called Unredeemed. On this earth, there are trials that we will go through. Those trials are yet unredeemed. It's a reminder when we don't know what's going on, when we don't know why God has allowed this to happen, that someday, someday He is going to make everything right. He is going to redeem everything that has yet been unredeemed. What about you? Are you ready to be touched by God? To be touched by the most powerful being? Be careful. You may go through some terrible things. You may experience the deepest of pain. God will always be there. And one thing I know for sure, you will never be the same again. Bow your heads with me. Dear Lord, thank you for carrying us, for holding our hand when we needed you. Help us, Lord, to never let go, to look past the things that we think are blocking us, to look into your face, to feel your power, and to know, Lord, that it's your strength and your power that will guide us through anything that this devil can throw at us. Be with us through the rest of this Sabbath, Lord. Thank you for creating a day that we can spend with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.